Hi, Dave Emmer here. This is Side 1 for the record, program number 758, The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 4, Dramatis Personae, Part 4. This program is subtitled The Deep Fifth Column. What we're going to do... Oh, this is, by the way, being recorded on October 13th of the year 2013. What I'm going to be doing, to the best of my ability in this program, is not only tying some things together, but relating the milieu, the dramatis personae of Snowden's Rod, as I call it, the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, to the remarkable and very disturbing things that are going on in Washington, D.C. Now, one of the things that we have been focusing on in connection with Eddie the Friendly Spook is what I call the Palestinian Libertarian Organization. That is the milieu of Ron and Rand Paul. And that milieu is inextricably linked with what we are looking at. Not only was Ron Paul Eddie Snowden's presidential candidate of choice in 2012, Snowden gave money to Ron Paul, but Snowden is an advocate of the economic and social theories of Ron Paul and Rand Paul, which in turn derived from the Austrian School of Economics. And the foundational element of the Austrian School in this country and for Ron Paul and Rand Paul is an organization out of Auburn, Alabama, called the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Ludwig von Mises and his disciple, or his protege, Friedrich von Hayek, are the two main progenitors of the Austrian school. As we have seen in our examination of not only Ron Paul and Rand Paul, but the Ludwig von Mises Institute, it is inextricably linked not only with white supremacist elements, people like David Duke institutions, like the Stormfront organization of Don Black, but they are explicitly hostile to democracy. They are, as we're going to see in this program, very, very sympathetic to the concept of absolute monarchy and to elements associated with the House of Habsburg from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Ludwig von Mises Institute, again, is inextricably linked with organizations like the League of the South and the Neo-Confederate movement, which not only believed the South was right in the Civil War, and they disagree with Lincoln having freed the slaves, but they favor the re-secession of the former Confederate states, and many of them, such as Walter Block, a Ludwig von Mises Institute scholar and an aide to Ron Paul's new organization, they are in favor of slavery. Yep, I mean, really, slavery. There's nothing funny about it. There should be. I chuckle because of what Nietzsche observed about a joke when he said that a joke is the epigram on the death of a feeling. And when I see people like Ludwig von Mises, resident scholar, and Ron Paul aide Walter Block advancing concepts like voluntary slavery, which is not only the ultimate oxymoron, as I've said before, it could be considered the ultimate collateralized death obligation. We are looking at something that is very, very, very different from what most people think of as libertarianism. And again, the Ron Paul, Rand Paul milieu, what I call the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, is not only inextricably linked with totalitarianism, slavery, white supremacy, fascism, but is inextricably linked with Eddie Snowden. The Snowden family's American lawyer, Bruce Fahn, was the top legal advisor to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign and was apparently introduced to the Snowden family, with whom he formed a nonprofit organization by Rand Paul. Now, Rand Paul is at the very epicenter of what we are seeing in Washington, D.C. right now, and I want to stress again that Ron Paul is an excellent political seducer, and many of the people that have been taken in by his message, who have been so seduced, are not themselves willing fascists or totalitarians by any means. But there is an old expression, count your buttons before doing them up. And I think a lot of people, particularly young tech-oriented people, really need to be extremely careful and far, far more discerning than they have been about some of the elements under which they are allowing themselves to, or some of the elements under whose sway they have fallen. I have compared many of the well-intentioned, anarcho-utopian-oriented followers of Pirate Bay, the Pirate Party, and WikiLeaks, and I think we can also extend this to elements of the libertarian movement. They are like the Wandervogel, the wandering birds in pre-Weimar and Weimar Germany. They are young idealists who favored, who saw in the established institutions of pre-Weimar and Weimar Germany nothing but despair, and they wound up embracing various forms of alternative social organization and theory. However, most of the Wandervogel, the vast majority of them, wound up becoming Nazis in the final analysis. And remember a couple of things, the passage from Mein Kampf I have cited so often. Mein Kampf, of course, is Adolf Hitler's political autobiography and manifesto. Hitler observed that, quote, most people tell little lies. They would be ashamed to tell big ones. They would never credit others with such great impudence as the complete reversal of facts. Even explanations would long leave them in doubt and hesitation, as any trifling detail would dispose them to accept the thing as true. And I think that is something people need to beware of, because a lot of people have been seduced by a lot of these things. Now, again, as I am speaking, for the benefit of those who will eventually hear this via CD and on the radio or from an audio file, today is October 13th of the year 2013, and the government in Washington is shut down. It is costing Americans billions of dollars already, and we are looking at the very real possibility. Certainly, this has been threatened and even endorsed by some of the so-called Tea Party faction in the Republican Party, and basically the others have gone along with this. We have seen a threatening of default, refusal to raise the debt ceiling, which would be, in all probability, catastrophic for the United States. The mere fact that these clowns are, really they're not clowns, or the people that get seduced by them are clowns, they're willful fascists and malefactors. And even beyond fascists, they seek ultimately the negation, subjugation, or if need be, the destruction of the United States. I have spoken about the neo-Confederate movement, and I also note that in addition to being inextricably linked with the neo-Confederate movement, the Ludwig von Mises Institute is very, very Pro Habsburg and Karl von Habsburg, heads up the UNPO, which we've spoken about many times in the past, and like the neo-Confederate movement, they are seeking a breakup of the United States. And again, the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, as I call it, is inextricably linked with Eddie Snowden, his father, Lon. Eddie Snowden's political views, his let's get rid of Social Security and bring back the gold standard chant. That's vintage Ludwig von Mises / Ron Paul / Rand Paul. And that milieu is at the very epicenter of what we are seeing in Washington. A very important and relevant op-ed piece was put together by Bill Moyers, and this is in the TalkingPointsMemo.com blog of October 8th of 2013. I'm going to read part of it. Before getting into this, note what we are seeing in Washington, because what we are seeing is a direct manifestation of fascism. What we are seeing is a direct rejection and an explicit rejection of democratic process. Obamacare, for example, is a bill that passed both houses of Congress. It was signed into law by the President of the United States and upheld in a ruling by the Supreme Court. It is law. And by holding the rest of the country and even the future of America hostage via the threat not to raise the debt ceiling, which would be catastrophic, what we are seeing is a fundamental rejection of democratic process with a small d by the Republican Party, and using the Tea Partiers as something of an excuse, because I think this is what they all really favor. And I don't think I could stress that strongly enough. I've been warning about fascism for years. This is what you are seeing. This could be called perhaps a fascist legislative coup, because what the Republican legislature is doing by holding Obamacare and many other things that they could not put into law through democratic process, what they are doing is fundamentally rejecting the American system of government. They are fundamentally rejecting process. So bear in mind the Ludwig von Mises Institute, the Proletarian Libertarian Organization, as I call it, and the Neo-Confederate Movement, and something we will come back to, which is the Ludwig von Mises Institute's close affiliation with the House of Habsburg and absolute monarchy. Bill Moyers, writing on October 8th, 2013, for the TalkingPointsMemo.com blog. Republicans have now lost three successive elections to control the Senate, and they've lost the last two presidential elections. Nonetheless, they fought tooth and nail to kill President Obama's health care initiative. They lost that fight, but with the corporate wing of Democrats, they managed to bend it toward private interests. So, we should be here on this, So we should be clear on this. Obamacare, as it is known, is deeply flawed. Big subsidies to the health insurance industry, a bonanza for lobbyists, no public option, and as the New York Times reported this week, millions of poor are left uncovered by health law, largely because states controlled by Republicans refuse to expand Medicaid. Despite what they say, Obamacare is only one of their targets. Before they will allow the government to reopen, they demand employers be enabled to deny birth control coverage to female employees. They demand Obama cave in on the Keystone Pipeline. They demand the watchdogs over corporate pollution be muzzled and that the big bad regulators of Wall Street be sent home. Bill Moyers, that is being... That's sarcasm, so to speak. Their ransom list goes on and on. The debt ceiling is next. They would have the government default on its obligations and responsibilities. When the president refused to buckle to this extortion, they threw their tantrum. Like the diehards of the racist South a century and a half ago, who would destroy the Union before giving up their slaves, so would these people burn down the place and sink the ship. At least, let's name this for what it is. Sabotage of the democratic process, secession by another means. And Bill Moyers is spot on here. This is secession by other means. For those members of the listening audience, and I can certainly appreciate that there would be many, and I don't fault them for this, who would be saying, oh, man, that is crazy. Here's Dave talking about the country being broken up. That's not going to happen. The South isn't going to secede again, regardless of what the Ludwig von Mises Institute favors. And we are not going to break up as a country. Well, in effect, that is what we are seeing. We are seeing a secession from the very concept of democracy, the secession from the very fundamental mode of American government, above board by the Republican Party. And I really don't think that one could exaggerate that. One could not emphasize that strongly enough. Now, a couple of points that we have made in the past and that I'm going to come back to. In discussion of the Ludwig von Mises Institute and in discussion of Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley German-born billionaire, who is the number one investor in Facebook originally. He is one of the driving forces behind the seasteading movement. He is the largest stockholder in Palantir, that appears to be the company that makes the Prism software at the focal point of the Eddie Snowden controversy, and also the principal stockholder in a company called Robotix, which manufactures security robots, and whose CEO is the same CEO who heads up Palantir, and that is the student of Jürgen Habermas, Alex Karp. Now, both Peter Thiel and the Ludwig von Mises Institute have been explicit in their rejection of democratic process. Peter Thiel has stated that he has, this in a paper that he wrote for the Cato Institute back in 2009, and we have read this into the record in, for the record, 756, actually in 757 last week. He has stated that he has concluded that freedom and democracy are no longer compatible. In part, that's because we allow women to vote. He doesn't think women should be allowed to vote. And also, as is the case with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, he feels that democracy is inimical to wealth creation. That is the basis on which both the Ludwig von Mises Institute and Peter Thiel reject democracy. Peter Thiel, as we looked at last week, is also the number one capitalizer of the super PAC for Ron Paul, which interestingly enough, despite the fact that Ron Paul is from Texas, that super PAC is located in Provo, Utah. That is not only Mormon country, but Ron Paul and Mitt Romney are very, very close. One of the things to remember, and we're going to go into this at greater length inside two of the program, one of the points that I made when we are looking at Eddie Snowden, for example, with his Austrian school slash Ludwig von Mises / Paulistinian economic and social doctrine that we should eliminate Social Security and bring back the gold standard. What we're looking at is a rejection of democracy because it is bad for wealth creation. Now, this goes right to the core of Hitler's speech before the industry club of Dusseldorf. We're going to have more to say about that inside, too. I mentioned it last week, in fact, in the description for last week's program, For the Record 757, there is abundant discussion of the Nazi antecedents of ostensibly pro-democracy and anti-Nazi German philosopher Jürgen Habermas. Habermas is arguably Germany's best known contemporary philosopher, has a democratic with a small d reputation. He was the single largest influence or greatest influence on his student Alex Karp. And yet all of his, that is to say Jürgen Habermas's, intellectual and political antecedents were Nazi, and Jürgen Habermas was director of the Max Planck Institute for 12 years, and that just is not credible for someone who ostensibly is what he professes to be. Now, there is another of Jürgen Habermas's students, one of his doctoral students, who is a German philosopher named Hans Hermann Hoppe, H-O-P-P-E, who is one of the principal influences on the libertarian ideological school. He is very big with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. He is a subscriber to the Austrian School of Economics, and in a paper that really goes to the very thrust of what Hans Hermann Hoppe is all about. This is a paper that appeared on the Daily Kos website, a blog, I should say, by someone called Down East Dem. And this is from Tuesday, June 15th of 2010. And there is a very insightful essay here called Anarcho-Fascism, the Libertarian Endgame. And in this, there is some pretty good discussion of the philosophy of Hans Hermann Hoppe. But we're going to, I think, delve into that at greater length in side two due to the limitations of time. A paper that is available from the website of the Ludwig von Mises Institute that relies on Hans Hermann Hoppe's analysis is a paper by Andrew Young called Freedom and Prosperity in Liechtenstein, a Hoppean Analysis. To make a very long story very short, there will be a link for this in the description for the Record Program 758. The House of Liechtenstein itself, is seen by the Austrian school and the Ludwig von Mises Institute and Hans Hoppe as an ideal form of libertarian government. And specifically, they laud Prince Hans Adam II in this paper. It's a long paper. I'm not even going to attempt to read most or all of it into the record. Suffice it to say that not only is the House of Liechtenstein and Prince Hans Adam an offshoot of the House of Habsburg, of which the Ludwig von Mises Institute is openly enamored, but the Principality of Liechtenstein itself is basically a lean, mean money laundering machine. There are only 30,000 people in Liechtenstein, and there are three corporate fronts for every one of them. And as we saw in For the Record 530, a number of the Al-Taqwa subsidiaries used for the financing of Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda activities, including 9/11 came through Liechtenstein-registered entities. Alpaca itself was registered in Vaduz, Liechtenstein, and one of its subsidiary elements, the ASAT Trust, specifically cited by Treasury as an Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood or terror funding vehicle. ASAT Trust, as we looked at in For the Record 530, was headed up by Martin Wachter, W-A-C-H-T-E-R, a distant relative of Prince Hans Adam, and Prince Hans Adam, as we looked at in For the Record 530, briefly basically established himself as an absolute monarch just for a while, and that enabled him to effectively cover up the investigation into the Bank Altaqua with all of its many Third Reich links like Yosef Nada, Ahmed Huber, and Francois Janoux. Now, of Hans Hermann Hoppe, and this is described again, Freedom and Prosperity in Liechtenstein, a Hoppean analysis, we read, skipping down, the work of economist and political philosopher Hans Hermann Hoppe, specifically his seminal book Democracy, The God That Failed, The Economics and Politics of Monarchy, Democracy, and Natural Order, gives us a framework for analyzing Liechtenstein's development. In his book, Hoppe argues that, contrary to popular belief, the historical transition from monarchy to democracy represents decline, not progress. Again, an explicitly anti-democratic and pro-monarchist perspective. Skipping down in this Andrew Young / Ludwig von Mises essay, Freedom and Prosperity in Liechtenstein, a Hoppean analysis by Andrew Young, we read, Liechtenstein's freedom and prosperity also gives libertarians an idea of what may be the most tolerable form of state in existence today. This study suggests that if there must be a state in its modern democratic form, a return to the old regime in which the state is the monarch's property seems impossible, then the most tolerable form is a constitutional monarchy, with the monarch retaining extensive powers to discourage demagoguery. The state should also be restricted to a small area in both population and territory, giving politicians little incentive to expand the state. Under such a situation, as Liechtenstein shows us, monarchy is, in the word of Charles Maurras, M-A-U-R-R-A-S, quote, the least evil and the possibility of something good, unquote. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the history of absolute monarchy couldn't really be too much clearer. It results in very big states and empires and bloody wars and all manner of horrible things. But again, I cite the Hoppean analysis there from Jürgen Habermas's student Hans Hermann Hoppe, a darling of the Austrian school, a darling of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. I cite that as indicative of the ideology that we will be examining at greater length in side two of this program. This concludes side one. For the Record, program number 758, The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 4, Dramatis Personae, Part 4, The Deep Fifth Column. This program is being recorded on 10/13/2013. My name is Jay Memory. Ciao.